The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Welcome back once again. This is Paul Orlowski, and today we're going to be talking to Sister Catherine Allensworth. Sister Catherine, first of all, welcome to AM 1260 The Rock.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, you've had a smile ear to ear as soon as you walked in the door. I hope that's a benefit of your calling.
Yes, for sure. Jesus blesses us with a lot of joy.
You grew up in Canton. Tell me about growing up.
Yes, so I grew up with my mom and my brother. He is about a year younger than me. We grew up at St. Peter's originally in Canton downtown. Eventually, we moved after my dad passed away to Little Flower Parish out a little farther into Plain Township. It's a pretty normal upbringing. We enjoyed sports, being together.
Regular Mass, I assume?
So for the first few years of my life, so about first 10 years, we went to Mass every week. And then eventually, once we moved, we stopped going to Mass as a family. I eventually went through confirmation and was confirmed. But after that, our whole family stopped practicing the faith.
Mm-hmm. What called you back?
I was actually, when I was at the University of Akron, I was in the dorms my freshman year, and I just wanted friends. I wasn't really interested in faith, but all of the people that lived on my floor wanted to go to church. And so I was like, okay, I guess I'll go with you because I want friends. And so I went with the Protestant girls, and they were like, we'll just go to this church this week and this church next week. And I was like, okay, that's fine. And then eventually, we found a church on campus, and it led to a Bible study. And that was the first time I really heard about Jesus and the gospel and how much he loved me and like his mission for me. And it changed my life, just hearing the good news for the first time. And that really led me to question, what does the Protestant church believe? What does the Catholic church believe? And what's like the tradition there? And just kind of understanding that for myself. And I had a really great friend who questioned me, and she didn't let it go, about being Catholic and about the richness and fullness of the faith. But I wasn't quite there. I had some experiences when I was younger in youth group and things that the church says one thing, but the people leading the youth group say a different thing. And so, and those weren't always positive experiences. So I wasn't quite ready. But eventually, through a lot of prayer and then an encounter with Jesus in the Eucharist, I came to realize, like, this is the fullness of faith. This is the fullness. And that's Jesus that sits on the altar every week, every day, 24 hours a day. And that changed everything for me.
Deacon Sivers, who's on EWTN radio, calls confirmation Catholic graduation for some. Your story's kind of similar, but not similar, because for a lot of folks, first time away at college, they fall away. Yours was exactly the opposite.
Right. It's interesting how the Lord works. You know, when I, like Catholic graduation with confirmation, I think I really graduated from not wanting to be Catholic. But then I go to college and there's so many options available to you in college. I could have gone any way, but the Lord decided to draw me in deeper and really pull me back to his heart, which is amazing considering I was at a public university where faith was not a priority for most people and most college students. It was funny, like the people that I lived with, they would say, oh, you're like the grandma of the dorm. I would just sit and knit when they would go out and go partying every weekend. And I was like, well, I don't have a desire to do any of that. I didn't really have a faith conviction about that. It was more of just like, what's the draw? And so, but then when Jesus came into my life, it was like, this is why I don't want to go partying, or I don't need to go out and experience all those things other college students are looking for.
What were you initially called to do in your mind when you decided to go to Akron? What type of a career were you thinking of?
Yes, so I went thinking I was going to do biology pre-med, so I wanted to be a doctor. But very, very quickly, I realized I did not want to be in school that long, and that I think the subject matter was fine for me. It was just like I couldn't take all that schooling. I was good at it, but it wasn't my favorite thing in the world to do. And then my mom, in her wisdom, she said, "You're not going to be in college much longer. Like, you just need to pick a major and go with it, regardless of how you feel about it." So she said, "You're either going to be a nurse or a teacher." And that's what I needed. I just needed someone to say, like, pick something, but don't just go in indecision for the rest of your life. And so I went to, like, those career options at the university. And then I decided on nursing. I always knew I wanted to help people and serve in that way. So nursing kind of felt like a particular fit. But at this point in my life, I had experienced the love of Jesus, and I knew I was going to give my life to him. I just didn't know what that was going to look like. So picking a major was kind of an arbitrary thing. It was just like, I have to do it because I have to get a degree to do what I feel called to do in serving the Lord. So I just picked nursing and went with it, and I grew to really love it and enjoy it.
Now, did you get a degree in nursing?
I did, yes. I graduated in 2019.
What happened next?
So along the way, I was discerning religious life. I had met our sisters while I was in college at the Newman Center. But when I graduated, I wasn't quite ready to keep discerning. And so I had stopped at that point, and I decided to work. So I worked for about a year and a half at UH.
Was there a lightning bolt, or just that gnawing kind of, I need you, I want you?
When I visited the sisters the first time, I just felt at home, and I knew that was where I was supposed to be. I didn't really have words to describe that experience, but when I decided to stop pursuing religious life in college, it was more of out of a place of my identity wasn't in the right place. I wasn't living out of, like, I'm an adopted daughter of God. I was living out of the identity of, like, I have to find a vocation. I have to be a sister. I have to be a wife, or I have to be a nurse. I wasn't living out of, like, I'm already beloved as I am. With that in my heart, I kind of felt religious life there, but I wasn't, like, ready yet. And so with a lot of guidance, I decided to work. And while I was working, it was just the culture really evaporates you when you're in that. But when COVID hit back in March of 2020, my heart was just like, this isn't what the Lord has for me for the rest of my life. I was watching Jesus on an iPad, and I couldn't receive the sacraments. We had missed Easter, and I was like, Lord, like, I desire you in fullness, not just talking to my spiritual director on the iPad, looking at Jesus in adoration through YouTube. I desired intimacy in a more profound way, and that's when I really started to realize, like, Jesus has a lot more for he wants for me as well. So I started slowly discerning again, and it was more of a process of just finding the community for me at that point, because I already knew in my heart that's where God was calling me. It was more of a question of, how does he want me to live that out?
Something good came out of COVID. We've made some news here today. This is wonderful. Yes. Sister, stay right there. We're going to talk some more about picking out the right order for you when we come back on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Stay with us. Sister Catherine Allensworth is with us. She is with the Mercedarian Sisters here in the Cleveland area. Sister, when we left, we talked about you finding the right order that would allow you to fully experience the love of Jesus. How did you pick this particular order?
Yes, so I knew our sisters for a very long time. I met them when I was a junior in college. They came for a vocations night. And so I had met them, and I honestly had no idea religious sisters still existed. I had never encountered one growing up. And so it was like a big surprise. And then the joy and the youthfulness that our sisters brought to campus, it was just stunning. And at the time, I had a good friend who was also discerning with our sisters, and she just pushed me. She's like, you should go visit. It'll be so awesome. And I was like, I'm not even sure, like, religious sisters are a thing, but okay. And so just filled with, like, zeal and joy, I just went on a discernment retreat. And it was an amazing experience. I just felt peace and joy. And so that experience really led me to come back. And I visited again. And it was the same confirmation of what I already felt, that peace, that feeling at home. But I still had a year to go in school. And so the wisdom of our vocations director, she told me, she's just like, find a spiritual director and get your degree. And so that's what I did. And I went back to school. And the Lord allowed me to be tested throughout that last year of school. So I knew our sisters and had a great love. But my spiritual director at the time, he said, when I was discerning again, he said, you need to look at other communities just to know what's all out there. That's just like healthy discernment, is to see
good advice.
Different communities. And so I did that, but it was COVID. And so a lot of religious communities shut down. So I couldn't like go visit, because I was at the point where I just needed to go see other sisters' lives. And I couldn't do that because they were all closed, which makes sense because they have elderly sisters who are susceptible to COVID.
Sure.
But the Lord, through that process, really just shut every door that I opened. And he's like, and it just led eventually to our sisters and to calling our vocations director and saying, like, I'm ready to make another step. And this was October 2020. It was very quick after that. And then I entered in January. But the Lord really showed me that through the closing of the doors, like, he opened my heart to the joy that I already knew in my heart and felt for our charism and for our community.
We've been doing the show for just about a year now, and I have to say, of all the folks we talk to, I sense this joy, this inner peace in the sisters. I really do. There's no doubt about it. So you basically began the process with the first step, inquiry, and then you got the advice, finished school, and continue to discern. Take me through the step. Then pre-postulancy is next.
In our community, we have four levels of formation. So there's aspirancy. So I did not go through that. But after you make the missional contact with our vocations director, you have a conversation, you continue to talk, you visit. And for some people, that process goes quickly. And so they would enter aspirancy. That's typically a time of just reflecting on, is God calling me to religious life? Is this community something I'd be able to live in religious life? And it's just more of a looking at yourself and looking at religious life. For myself and for a lot of our sisters, we enter the first stages after you've kind of heard the call of Jesus in your life, is entering postulancy. So that's when you enter and it's, I've heard Jesus calling and I want to explore this further and make sure. And so you're living the life with the sisters. We take classes at the seminary with the men studying to be priests. We take classes in the community. We help with our school. And it's just really intentional personal formation. And then after that is becoming a novice, which thanks be to Jesus, I just happened this past month.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yes. And this time is more focused on living out the vows and living out the constitution before we profess vows and temporary vows.
So that's going to be a couple of years, right?
Yes. God willing, it'll be in 2 years.
Now, this is funny when you're talking about how long it would take to become a doctor. You've chosen a path almost as long as being a doctor. 2 years, and then what happens at the end of that?
So, yes, so your temporary vows, you renew year to year, and that lasts between 3 to 6 years, depending on the sisters and the community's discernment. And then you would make perpetual vows, and that is your lifetime vows to the community and to the church.
Now, are you going to be able to continue using some of those nursing skills?
You never know what the Lord has in store. Right now, except for like helping the community when someone gets ill or hurt. I've used some of my skills, but I'm not in a direct apostolate or a direct service of nursing. But you never know how the Lord will call our community and what people will ask of us. So my classmates were actually all in the medical field. Sister Chelsea's a nurse as well, and Sister Grace is a physical therapist. So he called three medical people in the same year, so we don't know what the Lord's going to do with that.
A different assignment might come down the line, too, after you do the perpetual vows, I would guess.
Right.
You're still in kind of all those years and years of formation right now.
Yes.
Yeah. You're at Our Lady of Mount Carmel.
Yes.
Which is a neat neighborhood.
It is.
A changing neighborhood, but boy, a lot of old, staunch Catholics down there who've been there for a good long time. You get to serve those people and meet those people. How does that enrich your call?
It just shows you the love Jesus has for all of the people. We meet so many people every day, and just getting to know people. So one thing that we do every day is we do rosary walks when it's nice out, and just our silent witness. We just pray as we walk, but we've met a variety of our neighbors from all walks of life. So there's married couples, there's people with same-sex attraction that we meet. We meet our faithful Catholic lady who lives down the street. You know, we have friends who have little ones, and we take the little ones while we walk. And so, like, the Lord just opens your heart to all of his people in a unique way. And I think, and just some of the unique things we do at Our Lady of Mount Carmel, like our festival, being with our kids at the school, it just shows you all the different ways he's going to ask us to serve, God willing, when we make vows.
You know, sometimes I think Catholics are poor about evangelization, mm-hmm. but taking a rosary walk is a beautiful form of evangelization. You're seen in the community as being the part of the fabric of the community, and that you probably feel the love coming back to you.
We do, for sure. I mean, it's just a silent evangelization. We're not going and knocking at people's doors and saying, hello, we're the sisters down the street. Come to church tomorrow. Thanks. No, uh-huh. we're just praying what we would do in our chapel. We're just taking it outside. And just to hear a lot of the witnesses, we had a family call our priest, and he said, and they told him, you know, the sisters were just walking by, and I was in an argument with my daughter, and we heard the sisters praying the Hail Mary, and we instantly stopped arguing, and we all felt peace. And the sisters just walked by the window, and then it was just over, you know?
Yeah. Stay right where we are. We'll be back on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski with Sister Catherine Ellensworth, who's down at Our Lady of Mount Carmel, which we were just talking about. But we'll be back with more and explore her vocation more on God Calling. Stay with us. This is AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Welcome back to God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski with Sister Catherine Ellensworth. And Sister, we were talking a little bit about, you can find out something about everybody online these days. And I know she had done some work before entering with the Tourette's Association. Was that another call, Jesus telling you that they might need some help?
Yeah, and it's sort of, so I actually have Tourette's syndrome myself. And for those who don't know, Tourette's is a neurologic disease. It causes involuntary movements and sounds. And that's been a big part of my life. And I've gone on a lot of healing through that. And the Lord has blessed me. Part of my journey is I encountered them through different people in my life. And I went to a conference, and it really helped me see that Tourette's isn't something that holds me back. It's actually something God's given me to be compassionate and help people be more understanding. So through that, I eventually started working for them as an intern. And I did programs. I helped lead support groups. I did education workshops. And I talked about my experience. I think that's a big thing with Tourette's is a lot of people don't know about it. A lot of what I did was just talk about it mm-hmm. and normalize it for people. It was a big passion of my heart, something like to give back, because the Tourette Association really blessed me abundantly when I was in college and helped me through a very dark time when I didn't know that other people had Tourette syndrome. Just I was able to give back after college and really serve with them through different ways. But yeah, and it's definitely shaped who I am.
There is light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes. Amen.
What's your average day like? A lot of prayer, I know, and still, in your case, formation, but for some of the other sisters, teaching and such. But what's your day like?
So we get up about 5:15. We pray morning prayer and have Mass at about 6:30, and then we have breakfast. For our postulants, they then go and greet our children. So they open the car doors, help the little ones unpack their book bag. And then for us novices, we spend most of our time in the convent. So we clean the kitchen after breakfast while our sisters are out at the school. And then the morning we try and spend in prayer. So we're cloistered our first year as novices. And so that kind of looks like we do Lectio Divina, or reading the scriptures, for about 30 minutes. And then we can do spiritual reading, or we can do studying for our classes at the seminary. We also take classes online through Magdala Apostolate, which is just a form for sisters to take class, high-level theology classes. So in our mornings, we do that. We'll also take classes with our mother mistress, who oversees our formation. But we try and keep silence until we pray midday prayer at about noon. So then at noon, we pray and we have lunch as a community. And then generally after that, in our afternoons, we have more either studying or we'll go to adoration. And then once a week, we meet with our mother mistress for colloquiums, just talk about how things are going in community life, at mm-hmm. school, those kinds of things. And then we pray Vespers or evening prayer around 5 in the rosary. Then we have dinner as a community. And then usually we have recreation. So we play games. We're very sure. competitive and we have a lot of fun. We'll watch movies. We'll go outside on a walk. Just different activities to do to bond and to have fun together. And then generally we pray night prayer at 8 o'clock and go to bed.
It sounds like one of the great advantages of going from postulancy to novice is you don't have to open the car door for the kids in the winter in Cleveland. You're inside. You're in the kitchen. So see, there's benefits to moving up in the seniority level, right?
It is, yes. I mean, I love seeing the kids in the morning and in the wide range of reactions they give us every day. The little ones, they're like, they want to play games and they're like, let's get out of the car. And they're like, no, we're not getting out of the car. And they're like, come on. And then they're laughing and giggling. And then you have our middle school kids and that's like, good morning. And they just stare at you, good morning, and nothing. And so it's a lot of fun. And then you get to know their personalities the longer you're out there with them. Mm-hmm. But I'm not a big Cleveland winter person, so it is kind of nice being inside.
That's probably a few of us in this room, you know. It is what it is.
Yes.
What is the grand silence?
That starts after we pray evening prayer and have a final blessing. It's about 8:30 every night. And so typically it's just being silent and being respectful for our sisters who are sleeping or having time to continue praying or studying until about 10 o'clock when we turn the lights off and we go to bed. So it's really just keeping interior silence until morning.
I read some of the, I don't know if it would be the charism of the order, but joy, gratitude, charity, and humility. That basically sum it up?
Yes.
In your case, it sounds like it did start with joy.
It did. Yes. Yeah, joy is a big part in those four virtues. We all try and live them out and in Thanksgiving for like the call that the Lord has given us and the ability to live in community.
Tell me about the order, the background of the order and how it got to Lady of Mount Carmel.
We were founded in 1910 by Venerable Maria del Refugio in Mexico. She founded our order to bring the Eucharist to people at a time of the persecution in Mexico. And so really, our mission is to bring the Eucharist by becoming Eucharist, and also through Christian education, we bring children to the Eucharist. So that's kind of why we were formed. We came to Cleveland about 25 years ago at the invitation of our brothers, the Mercedarian Friars, who also live at Our Lady of Mount Carmel in St. Rocco's on the west side. We came there to help run the school, and we've grown, thanks be to God, in vocations. And so we have all our formation in Cleveland at Our Lady of Mount Carmel as well.
Daily life centered around the Blessed Sacrament is what I read in the background to the order. But then that daily life, therefore, you're blessed with the graces to more fully serve others. That sum it up pretty well, you think?
Yes. So everything comes from our prayer, and adoration is at the center of our prayer life. And so we all do a holy hour every day in silent adoration. And then we have Vespers and the Rosary generally with the Blessed Sacrament. So that interior union with God is what propels us to bring Jesus and the Eucharist to the children and to the people we meet and the people we work with.
We're out of time, Sister. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely. Sister Catherine Allensworth is with us, and good luck and God bless with your vocation. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. This is God Calling. We hope you'll be back next week on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the archive audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.